If you would, turn with me today. I have an assignment, and I want to make sure that I get it done today in John chapter 14. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm going to show you some things in here that are going to help you to grow and to benefit and go to a next level in God. It's not hard to grow in God. It really isn't. Let's take a look at verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live too. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse number 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's. Look at verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love, love, love. Remember that song? The Beatles? If you don't understand what love is, we love apple pie. My wife loves me. My grandkids love me. My job loves me. We have all these things we attach love to. Right? I just love it when the weather's like this. I just love it when people act a certain way, especially moms with the kids, right? We use the word love in such a way that if you don't understand what that word is, you can get a whole bunch of different, interpretations of it. And you're going to see two types of love here today that I'm going to share with you, what Jesus says about this. The word love there literally means this. It means to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly. We could use to obey. When he says here, if you love me, if you welcome me, if you entertain me, if you're fond of me, if you love me dearly with an affection to obey me, my commandments, if you love me. I don't know about you, but apple pie doesn't ask me to love it. So to say, I just love apple pie, that has nothing to do with what this just said, correct? Okay, so when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Literally it says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. Look at the next verse. And I will pray the Father. So if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. You'll obey his word, number one. Number two, if you love him and keep his commandments, I will pray the Father and he'll give you another helper. He will give you this helper, and this helper comes, look at this, that he may abide with you forever. The word abide means to dwell or be at home or really to sit down in your company. He will abide with you and stay with you. And look how long. Forever. Forever. But the condition is, if you love him, if you obey him, because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Does everybody know that? Yes. Does anybody remember David? Take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. King Saul, when he sinned, God left King Saul. Do you remember that? The Spirit of God departed from him. Does everybody remember that? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to teach you something. Not once saved, always saved, everybody. Okay? I know that's hard for some of you. Now wait, now listen now. Verse 17, the spirit of truth. You don't get a spirit of error, but a spirit of truth. And let me tell you something. You're not easily, listen to me, deceived if you obey his commands. You can get false doctrine come your way and go, uh-uh. Why? Because the spirit of truth, the helper, lives inside of you, and he brings you truth. So when false doctrine comes, you go, nah. Yeah. Because you're obeying his truth. You know. That isn't right. The Jehovah Witnesses came knocking on the front door. Our son was 14, 13, knock on the door. And they said to him, we want to tell you about Jehovah, blah, blah. They went and said, and they said, we're born again. And my son inside said, no, you're not. I mean, he knew right in his spirit, they're not born again. That's a lie and a deception. And he knew that the doctrine they were trying to give to him was wrong. Though he didn't know chapter and verse, he knew that what they were trying to give him was completely wrong. And guess what he did? He did not. He was nice to them and said, no, thank you. I really don't need this in my life. And I think he even told them about Jesus. And that was it. Closed the door. He didn't yell, scream, jump. But when I got home, he said, Dad, I've got to tell you something. Jehovah's Witnesses say they're born again now. I said, isn't that something? He goes, yeah, boy, I think he even used the word deceived. They're deceived, Dad, to think that. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't, we need to love them and help them and share the gospel with them. Now, take a look at this, verse number 17. The spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because they neither see him nor know him. That word means yada. That means when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, he yadas you. He becomes intimate with you. When you shake my hand, you heard of Len Cruz, but now you yada him. You're welded now. Yeah. You know Len. He's real. Yeah. That's what should happen when you receive the Holy Spirit. There should be a change that just happened. The kingdom of darkness will flee. Now watch this. And there will be a deposit inside of you that you know the spirit of truth in you. But here's what happens sometimes in the charismatic. I got the Holy Ghost. I feel him. I feel him. I feel him. It doesn't say anything about feelings. But that's what we think. We feel that the Holy Ghost came on us and we start to shake. We feel the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. No, you know what that could be? You may not have had enough vitamins in your system. You may be malnutrition and got the shakes or too much coffee. Sometimes what happens is if the Holy Spirit does come in you like that, it's not for you, it's for someone else. We've done things all in the name of the Holy Spirit that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is self-control. And if you can't control the shaking, guess what? It's not the Holy Spirit. It's an unclean spirit. And there's many unclean spirits that come on people, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't love God and they don't obey God. Therefore, they don't get the spirit of truth. They get the spirit of error. It's called witchcraft. And it comes on people. And you can see it. But if you don't know it, you don't know how to go, well, that ain't God. We were at a meeting. Pam and I were at a meeting in Orlando, Florida. And we're sitting there. And this lady started, the Holy Ghost came on her. Now listen to this. And the Holy Ghost came on her and she would go, woo, 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 woo. And I said, she got the train anointing. I said, that ain't no more the Holy Ghost. And the preacher, if I told him, if I said his name, most of you know him. That's, listen to me, that, I'm going to say it too. That ignorant preacher let that keep going on as he preached and said that was the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said to me, is that me? I said, no, sir. He said, he don't even know me. But he gets a lot of things done in his ministry. And listen to me, he works through people as far as he can go. But guess what? That minister could go a lot farther if he really knew God, because he could have stopped that, taught on it, and changed the whole ministry. Do you know when it went off? I told my wife, I said, man. And my wife, she felt bad. She goes, I'm sorry we came to this. I said, no, don't be sorry. We eat the hay and we'll spit the sticks. The problem is there was so much sticks, I couldn't even get hardly any hay. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Yes, there is some shaking sometimes, and people fall under the power. They better come up changed. If the Holy Spirit really did the work. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people have the spirit of what I call, they say it's the spirit of discernment, but in actuality, really, it's not. It's suspicion. They're just suspicious. Well, the Lord's showing me. No, they're just suspicious. Looking at the outside, thinking that that's really God. And that's not God. I've met those people. Lord would tell me one time, this lady came up. The Lord said, don't let that lady touch you. In a healing line one time at our church, pastor in Oregon. Lord said, don't let that lady touch you. Because what she has, you don't want. And all of a sudden, you know what she wanted to do? Grab me. And she grabbed me. Bang! And I felt, whoa! Got her off me? Man. And I'll tell you what, that spirit that was on her tried to get on me, make me sick and weird. And I felt nasty and disgusted. And the Lord said, I told you not to let her touch you. She is full of demonic presence. And that's why she loves to touch people in the body of Christ and have them pray for it, people. The Bible talks about laying hands on people. You got to be careful. You should know people you labor amongst. There's a lot of what I call sorcery in the body of Christ, especially in the charismatic movement, especially the Word of Faith movement. A lot of people look charismatic, charismaniac. It's not the spirit of truth. It's a spirit of error, but they throw the truth in it and they mix it. Do you know when the devil, I'm trying to help somebody, and if you get mad, that's okay. I just get mad at God. Because Jesus said, when the devil came up to him and tried to quote Psalm 91, Jesus put him right straight. Not tempt the Lord your God. He'd use the scripture wrong. Do you remember that? Cast yourself down. It doesn't say that. It said, lest your foot slip, not jump. Do you see what I'm saying? But if you don't know him, if you're not first obeying him, you can't get number two to work for you. The spirit of truth can't work in your life. And we got a lot of people that aren't obeying the truth. Therefore, they don't love him. Therefore, they don't have the Holy Spirit working to the degree that he wants to set you free. You only get part of the freedom. And I don't know about you. I don't want part. I want the whole. Now, look at this. Verse 17, the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him for he dwells with you and he'll be in you. Meaning this, he was on Jesus and in Jesus. And so they saw him and he dwelt among them. Now he's the same Holy Spirit that's in him going to be in them. And I don't know about you, I never saw Jesus going like this. I never saw Jesus acting weird, twitching. And he got, oh, God, I love it. Come on, wait a minute. It could be emotionalism. Because when Jesus did show up, the two people fell forward, not backward, right? And they lost power. It went, whoop. So I'm not saying you can't fall into the power. Does everybody understand that? I had them try to push me. And I could say some ministers and tell you their names, try to push me. And the Lord says, just go down or that guy's not going to leave you alone. I said, okay. Because they think if I push you over, you got something. Folks, it's not in the pushing. It's him. Well, they didn't receive because they didn't go down. Well, what about all the people Jesus talked to on the Sermon on the Mount? Not one of them went under the power. Right? I'm not saying we shouldn't lay hands on people and people go down. Come on. Does everybody understand that? I was a pastor at a church. I got to share this with you. I was at a pastor at a church. I was the associate. And the pastor said, Len, I need you to preach this Sunday. So I did. And this gal came up. And she always went down under the power. And she said she couldn't stop herself. So I said, she's ready to go. And I went to lay hands. I laid hands on her. She went to go and I said, now so-and-so, don't go under. She stopped and looked at me. And I said something to her. And I said, see, you can stop. I said, you don't need to go under. I turned the mic off, though. Does everybody understand that? And taught her something. Self-control. And guess what? She grew. She started to grow. Even the pastor said, something happened to so-and-so. I didn't say that. Well, yeah, I know what happened. The Lord was trying to use me to say, show her that she can control herself when the Holy Spirit's there. I go, don't go to heaven yet, sister. That's what I told her. Exact words. I said, don't go to heaven yet, sister. She stopped. I said, turn the mic off. I said, see, now you can control yourself because you were ready to go under, weren't you? She goes, yeah. I said, you were going under just to go under, weren't you? She goes, yeah. I go, that's okay. Now you can grow.
She quit coming up because she started receiving there. I'm not saying you don't need to come up. Does everybody understand? There are times to come up. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. My arm can't get 10 feet out there. So sometimes you have to come up. But if they don't go down or do go down, that don't make any difference to me. Because Jesus didn't say, if they go down, they shall recover. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Thank you, not going down, right? But some people do go down. I was at Raymond one time, and this person says to me, Len, I worked for Brother Hagin, so I was in the office working with all the big Rhema people. And one of the persons said to me, Len, you're going to run. I said, no, I'm not going to run. Oh, you're rebellious. I said, no, I'm not going to run. They go, you're going to run. Watch, before your time's up here, you're going to run. You're going to run. God's going to get on you. You're going to run. I said, there's no need for me to run. They said, why? I said, because I don't have to outrun any chariots. I said, you never see me run. I said, God, I can't find Jesus, say run. And the person looked at me. And guess what? I never ran. And guess what? I was okay. And guess what? God loved me. Whether I ran or I didn't run. But see, they thought I didn't have the Holy Ghost because I didn't run. I had the Holy Ghost. He was telling me inside me, you don't need to run. You don't have a chariot to outrun. You got a car. Put it in drive. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. But if you run, praise God, because maybe you got free. But don't use that on everybody else. They were trying to tell me, I need to run. I only need to do what God tells me to do. Does everybody else? If God says run, I'm going to run. But just because people are running don't mean they have the Holy Ghost. Because one day I was sitting in there and the Lord said to me, you see that woman? She's going to take off running. And she goes, she's only going to run across the platform and she's going to stop. And guess what she did? She got up and ran and stopped. You want to know why? She was out of shape. She was too big. No, I'm telling you the truth. The Lord told me. He said, pray that she could get that weight off her. No, I'm telling you the truth. The Spirit of truth is there to your helper to help somebody. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I didn't make it up. God said she's going to run. And she did. He said she's going to stop. And she did. And the Lord said, pray she lose the weight. And I did. Did she lose the weight? I don't know. I just did what he said. Does everybody understand that? Now look at the next verse. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. God's not going to leave us alone. God is not mad at you. Now you may disappoint him and you may have walked away from him because you don't obey his word, but he loves you. He's not going to bless, disobedience, sin. He doesn't bless sin. And here I got to share something with you, because as I was studying, the Lord said, please share this. This is what he told me. He didn't say, please, forgive me. That's lying, exaggerating. Forgive me. He said, share this. Some people think I'm blessing them because they're in sin and I don't bring any kind of correction right away, or they don't see a repercussion right away of the evil and they think that I'm okay with that. Tell them, I'm not okay with that. Because when they sin, they know, because the Holy Spirit and your spirit get convicted immediately. You just don't see the fruit of it right away. Payday comes, but it may not come on Friday. And here's another thing he told me to tell you. When a plant starts to grow and fruit comes up, does it come instantly? Does fruit come instantly? Is there any tree that fruit comes instantly? No. It's the same way with sin. It brings forth death, but you don't see it till later on it starts to come. So when people start sinning, they think they're okay with God because they haven't seen the repercussions of it. That's why we're told, be not deceived. And there's a lot of people who are deceived in the body of Christ. Does everybody understand that? Payday comes. And what happens is they stop the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And God is trying to get them to confess, to get back with him, so God can move and they can become more than 30 or 60, but 100-fold Christian. Does everybody understand that? So God doesn't put up with sin, though people think he does, because they don't see a repercussion right away. And so we think, I'm okay with God. And the whole thing is we're not, because we're not loving him. Because if you love him, you obey him. And you should repent right away. Confess it. Can I tell you something? Can I be honest with you? I mean, are you mature enough? I don't know if you're mature enough to take this, though. That's the issue. Because I'm going to share something, and some of you are never going to like me again. And it's called, you have a judgmental, self-righteous spirit. And you need to deal with that. But I'm going to share it. I committed adultery on my wife as a pastor, but listen to me, by looking at pornography, and I got out of the ministry. My wife asked me, are you looking at pornography? First I said, yes I am. She said, we're getting out of ministry. I said, you're right, we're getting out of ministry. When I told another minister about this happened years and years ago. When I told another minister about it, you know what he told me? Listen to me, listen now. He said this to me. Did you touch anybody in the church? And the Lord said, listen to what this man of God is saying to you. He knows nothing about me. He knows nothing about sin. He knows nothing about how to be a pastor. Listen to what he's asking you. I said, excuse me, sir, what? He goes, did you touch anybody in the church? I said, no. He goes, that's so good. I said, yeah, but the Lord said, if I looked upon someone as the lust for him, I might as well have committed adultery. The Lord says he knows nothing about me, knows nothing how to get people free, doesn't understand the work of sin, doesn't understand the work of grace, doesn't understand the work of restore. He's religious. Do you know Jesus looks at it like this? You can lust. Women can lust after men. That guy looks good. Now all of a sudden they start thinking about having sex with him. You know you committed adultery? You committed adultery. You're in sin. You stopped the work of the Holy Spirit from working. That six-pack that you've been looking at, women, through those magazines of that guy, and thinking, ooh, that looks good. And you're thinking about that in a lustful way? You committed adultery if you're married. If you're not, you fornicated. Mm-hmm. Men looking at other women the same way. God looks at that as sin. You know what the church says? Well, you didn't really do anything, so you're okay. You can still stay up and preach. Oh, sure you can. You ask God to forgive you. No, you never repented. See, how God sees it. You're an adulter. Land Cruise, pastor, Christian before anything. You're in sin. You are an adulter. And if you don't fix this, you have a reward to get. And it's not going to be good. And I had to confess it to my wife. Get right. And listen, thank God the church, nothing messed up with the church. We joined it within Assemblies of God Church. Everything was handled completely right, restored beautifully. No one got hurt. And it was beautiful doing it God's way. But if I would have listened to that minister, I was fine because I didn't touch anybody in the church. But I was in sin. I must have committed adultery with over 100 women. Do you follow what I'm saying? I was on porn, folks. It wasn't one woman. And then somebody said, was it a guy? No, it wasn't a guy. What's it matter? Yeah, really. That's stupid. Do you see how stupid this is? And we got people in the body saying sin is okay. Everybody does it. No. That's not true. Do you understand that? That will get you killed. You're telling God that he doesn't know what sin is. And you, my friend, are in sin for doing that. I was at Rhema. And a big guy, if I said his name, you'd know it. I heard this with my own ears. They said, if so-and-so gets a divorce, then it's okay for me to get a divorce. And guess what? So-and-so got a divorce. And guess what the other person did? And they were out of the will of God. They were in sin. And they stopped the work of the kingdom. I didn't sit under that man's ministry. It was done. Done. Because there was no repentance. You know what he did? He just went through the divorce and stayed right in the ministry, went through the divorce and went like this. I'm good with God. That ain't good with God. Does everybody understand that? Folks, I'm trying to tell you something. This is happening in some of our lives. We're thinking that we can sin and it's okay with God. It's not okay with God. Does everybody understand that? And it causes people to be deceived because they don't see the fruit of the death in the person's life. So they think God's okay with it. And he's not okay with it. Grace never came to, listen to me, to empower people to stay in sin. Grace came to get you out of sin like it never happened before and get you free. The Spirit of truth brings grace and truth to keep us free in him. That's why we need him. Does everybody understand that? Now, take a look at the next verse. Why am I sharing this with you? Because just this week, a born-again, Spirit-filled believer comes to my work. She confessed Christ, saved, loves God, goes to a church. If I said it in Sacramento, you know, big, big church.
I'm standing there with this gal. And out of her mouth comes, GD! And I did, huh? And there was a whole bunch of people around us that weren't saved. I was going to rebuke her, and the Holy Spirit was like quick in my heart, like, don't say a word. Because love covers a multitude of sins. And the Lord said, look what is happening in my body. God, they think I'm okay with this. I've got people that think I'm all right with sin in the body of Christ. And you're so weak. The body is so weak. We could do so much more, but we become like the world. That's why the world looks at a Christian and goes, what do I need God for? You guys do the same thing I do. But then when you live for them, guess what they tell you? Like one guy tells me, I thought you were a Christian. Because I said to him, well, I was joking around with this guy at work. You know what I said to him? He had big guns. I said, man, you got some big arms. I said, he said something about my arms. I said, yeah, you want me to stick your, and I was joking around, everybody. I said, you want me to grab you by the neck and pop your head like a zit? And he goes, I thought you were a Christian. You're not supposed to do that. I said, I'm joking with you, my man. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to hurt you. I was just joking with you. And I said, and then the Lord, quick in my heart, I said, please forgive me. I shouldn't even joke like that. That's totally, absolutely wrong. You're right. I shouldn't act like that as a Christian. And you know what he said to me? What'd you do? Because they're schizophrenic. Because that's how we are sometimes in the body. We're schizophrenic. We think it's okay to sin. It's not. Now take a look at the next verse. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you'll live also. Jesus is going to come back. Here's a promise. He's going to come back and we're going to see him. Why? Because we obey his truth. We have the Holy Spirit working in us. We're living for him. We're going to see him. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you'll see me because I live, you'll live too. Now, Jesus did appear to him. Watch. When he rose again, remember? He appeared to him. Then he appeared to him, appeared to like 500. Remember that in the book of Acts? He appeared to him. But this is talking about appearing when he comes back. Come back to get us. The rapture. We're going to see him. Not everybody's going to make it, folks. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to show you scripture. Not everyone's going to make it. Don't you play with sin and think it's doing it. And don't you ever make an excuse for someone in sin. Never. Now look at this. At that day, verse 20. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father and the Father in me and you in me. Why? We'll know there's unity. There's going to be a oneness. There's going to be a wholeness. When we see him and he sees us, we'll know everything. We only know in part right now. We will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And poof, we will have fellowship. We have sweet fellowship now with them. But we will really know them. Look at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. In other words, you have to have it, so you have to spend time with them. And keeps them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now that word manifest literally means this. It means to come to shine, to appear, to come to view, reveal, a habit, make visible, present oneself in the sight of another. You're going to see this. I will love him. He'll be loved by my Father. The Father will love him. Jesus and the Father will come to them for fellowship, and they'll live, and they'll make their home with them. Now look at verse number 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. There again, keep my word. Notice how many times he's saying this. Why? If God is repeating this, there's a reason why. Because not everybody is keeping his word. Does everybody understand that? I'm pastoring. This couple comes into my church. They're sitting in the back. They're all ooey, gooey, lovey and everything. And it looks really good on the outside. And as I'm preaching, something inside my heart is saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And I'm going, but they look so happy. And one of the kids says to my children's minister, wow, those people were kissing and all over one another. And little kid. And it was just like really icky. Yeah. That's what they said. It was icky.
It was icky, that's right.
So they come up to me. My youth, the children's pastor,
said something. Actually told my wife, because when I went home, she told me, said, this is what's going on. I said, what's going on? And it wasn't like, what's going on, Marvin Gaye? I mean, like, what's going on? And my wife says, you got a problem. We got a problem. I said, well, what's the problem? Well, those people are acting like they're married and they're not. I said, well, that's no problem we can't fix because I love them. So I call them into my office the next time. I said, folks, I need to ask you a question. Are you married? They said, no. I said, you guys are sure getting hot and heavy in the services. I said, you guys are dating? I said, yeah. I said, but you're not married. No. I said, none of you are married? She goes, I'm married. I said, bingo! Hey, we got some issues to deal with now, sin. So I said, well, I said, where's your husband? He's got my two little girls, and they live in a certain town. I live here. I said, and you, sir, how do you know her? Well, she's a teller at the bank, and I met her. I said, so you have another man's wife? He goes, well, not really. I said, no, really, you do. He says, well, they're getting a divorce. I said, no, they're not getting nothing. What do you mean? I said, because I'm praying you guys back together. You're a Christian? She goes, yeah. I said, no, you're not getting no divorce. God hates divorce. It's not going to happen. She looks at me like, and I said, ma'am, you're committing adultery. And you, sir, are fornicating because you're not married. And this has got to stop. And if it doesn't stop, you have to leave the church. He says, you're kicking me out of the church? I said, that's right, I'm kicking you out of the church. And she looks and goes, well, I don't want him to kick out of the church. He's starting to learn about God. I said, he's not learning about God. What kind of evangelism is this? Huh? Is this a sleeping around evangelism? I said, hang on. This is not right. I said, you're going to have to leave the church. He got mad. So what? I don't care. Get mad all you want. So he gets up. I can't believe you're kicking me out of the church. I said, you're either going to stop or get out, thrown out. What's it going to be? So he tells his mother. That's a grown man. The mother comes to say, I want to talk to you. You're going to come and talk to me. So I'm like, okay, I'm fine. You know that he was starting to really learn about God and now you're kicking him out. I said, ma'am, do you know the Lord? No. I said, then there's really no need for me to talk to you right now about the situation. Because you're getting involved in your grown son's business, and that's probably a lot of his problems he's had so far. Well, she didn't like to hear that.
I bet she didn't.
Right? But I did it in love. I did it in love. So I tried to help her, and then she kind of got straightened out a little bit. And the bottom line was this. He left the church. She got straightened out, got her husband back, got her kids back, and now she's living for God. Isn't that pretty good? But what if I would have been a mealy-mouthed preacher that just wanted to fill the seats up and didn't care? Would I be okay? God's going to deal with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? And my wife said, how did that whole thing... Well, I remember when I came home, she goes, how'd that happen? How did it happen? I said, we dealt with it. My wife went and saw the gal at the bank, and the gal was smiling. Remember, honey? Remember her? Smiling. She's smiling. She's getting her kids back. Folks, I'm telling you, sin will kill you. There's people living in sin in the body of Christ, lying to people, telling them they're married. They're lying. And they're wrong. Now look at this. Verse number 23. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word and my Father will love him. Guess what? If you don't keep his word, the Father don't love you. That means this. He doesn't welcome you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you about love. He doesn't welcome you. He's not fond of what you're doing. You're not entertaining to him. He doesn't get joy out of it. Does everybody understand that? He loves you. Agape loves you, but not this kind of love. Does everybody understand that? How many have ever not loved their child when they've done something? You don't like what they do, right? The same thing. You don't put up with them and say, that's okay. That's right. You don't stop loving them. It's not like God's going to go, I'll tell you what, you're going to get it now. I'm going to lop your head off. That's not what we're talking about. He doesn't entertain you to go like, hey, this is a real good thing you're doing.
Now, look at verse number 23 again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Again, he's saying we're going to manifest. We're going to habitate you. We're going to be together with you, my Father and me, and guess what? We're going to set up a beautiful home. Some of us, hey, it's like a Star Wars bar scene in some of these Christians' lives. It's crazy, and they're trying to tell you, praise God, I love God. And you meet them, and you look at them, and you go, what in the world is this? It's a cross message, not the cross message. Do you follow what I'm saying? God doesn't put up with sin, folks. I don't care who does it. He doesn't put up with it. Now, verse 24. I'm trying to help you to get obedient so you can get somewhere. He who does not love me does not keep my words. If the word which you hear is not mine, it's the Father who sent me. Go to 15 now. We're going to end. Go to 15, John 15. I was out ministering with this gentleman. He was on staff with Jim Baker. Everybody remember Jim Baker? Huh? Praise the Lord show. Tammy, Faye, Jimmy. Huh? Come on. I like him. I'm a big fan. I don't have no problem. Listen to me. I'm ministering with this guy who is an associate pastor. Him and I are ministering together. The fall. Remember, everybody remember the fall? Okay. They fell. Sinned. Got caught. Everything they lost. Remember that? Jimmy went to prison. Do you remember that? Okay. Now, did it happen? Watch this. Over a period of time. You know how many years it took to get to this? A lot of years. I was ministering with this guy. You know what he told me? He said, Len, if I would have obeyed the Holy Spirit over, I think it was 9 years, 8 years ago when this all happened, I wouldn't have went down with this mess. But I hung in there. Listen to what he said. I hung in there and missed God. I knew he was in sin, and I thought he would change, and he never changed. He never repented. I didn't know he was doing on the undercurrent. But if I would have listened to God, I would have got out. It shipwrecked him and his family, because when they lost everything, guess what happened? Guess what he lost? No income. Lost his home. How many people want to hire somebody at work for Jim Baker?
I don't think so.
I'm just telling you. It's, but I'm just saying. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? There was something. He should have listened. Are you following what I mean? Folks, don't put up with sin. It will kill you if you're attached to them. It's going to kill you. The payday is coming. You better look out, because you're going to blame God, and God's going to say, you stupid. You don't think the Bible uses stupid? Look at Proverbs. It talks about a person that's in sin and overlooks it as stupid. Foolish, it says, and stupid. It uses the word stupid. It does. I'm just telling you the truth. Now look at the next verse. That doesn't mean you're mean to the people. Does everybody understand it? Trying to protect you. Look at verse number 9. As the Father loved me, in John 15, we're going to end. John 15, look at this. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The reason why sometimes we don't have full joy is we're hooked up in sin, or we're hooked up to somebody who has sin, and therefore it drains us. Do you see what I'm saying? That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That means this: we're to submit to one another. What you say, I should obey. What I say, you should obey. Ephesians 4:21 says this: submit to one another out of reverence for God, in the fear of God. This word has to tie up with commandment. If you love someone, you obey them. That's why if I love you, Debbie, I'll listen to your word and what you say, as long as it's godly. Does everybody understand that? And vice versa. That's why there should be no fighting and strife and division. That's how they know you. You love for one another. You listen to one another. You obey one another. You submit to one another. And now you can see it. That's acting just like God acted with the Father. But we have very little of this. I tried to share something with the minister one time. You know what he told me? You're just religious. I said, no, you're in sin. He said, you're just religious. I said, no, you're in sin. No. Folks, you got to do something. You got to cut things off to get right with him. That's loving one another. Does everybody understand that? For that person to be in sin and bring you into sin, that he doesn't love you. She doesn't love you. Does everybody understand that? That's why we shouldn't unequally yoke ourselves with unbelievers. think you're going to win them to Christ. You're not. They're going to take you down. Now look at this. That means you love them, though. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. You got to lay your life down. Matthew 7, we're going to end. I promise, this is it. My wife says to me last night, honey, go wash your teeth. I said, I don't want to wash my teeth. I just took a shower. She goes, "Why? Go brush your teeth." And all of a sudden, I was like, I don't want to do that. But I was like, okay, I'll go do that. I had to put my life down because she had a command, and I need to do it. It wasn't sinful. I want to brush my teeth because she wanted to kiss me. Do you see what I'm saying? But we could have gotten a big fight and argument over that. But you know who was wrong? Me. Because I wasn't submitting to her. I wasn't loving her. I wasn't loving one another. She was trying to do it for the good of both of us. Brush your teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth. I took a shower. You told me to take a shower. I took a shower. That's enough. I'm telling you the truth. Did I not say that, hon? Did I not say that? But hey, but go to Matthew 22. Go to Matthew 22. I'm going to show you something. You can have a stinky attitude and still be right with God. Look at, go to, no, seriously, come on. Go to 21, Matthew 21, we're going to end. We're not going to go to 7. Forget about that. Go to 21, I'm going to share you something. This happened to me last night. My wife says, hey, take a shower. I say, yes, I took a shower. I come out of the shower. I'm showered up. My wife says, brush your teeth. I say, no, I took a shower. I don't want to brush my teeth. She's quiet. And the Lord starts working on me, the Spirit of Truth. Why don't you just put your life down and go brush your teeth? It might be good for you. But I could have not listened to the Lord and had a fight and an argument. Does everybody understand that? She's not going to argue with me. I'm going to argue and get in sin. But love covered a multitude of sins because she just kept quiet and went and prayed for me. I know she did. And I had a, listen to me, when I brushed my teeth, I was like, I'm brushing these teeth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm brushing these teeth, and I don't want to brush these teeth. And the Lord quickened my heart to a passage of Scripture. Matthew 21, 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted and went. And then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father?
The first.
That's right. His attitude was bad, was it not? But he went and did it. God doesn't care what your attitude's like. He wants obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It doesn't matter if you have a stinky attitude. Eventually, you'll grow up and get a better attitude. Eventually. And then you'll be able to do it with a good heart. You find me? But God loves us. Listen to me. That's how you grow in God. You can't say you love God and disobey God. It doesn't work like that. Does everybody understand? Listen to me. If you see a believer dating a non-believer, is that sin? Yes, it is sin. But here's what they'll tell you. Eventually, I'm going to turn them. Eventually, they're going to come to know the Lord. No, they're in sin. It doesn't work. You can't do sin and come out clean. Does everybody understand that? That's why God says, don't be deceived. God has not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. You sow the flesh, you reap death. You sow the spirit, you reap life. That's working to the flesh. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
So we don't need to do that. We have to become obedient. In the obedience, your attitude may be bad like mine. I'm brushing my teeth. But God says, you're obeying me and you love me. That's good. We'll work on the attitude later. Does everybody understand?
Amen.
All right, let's close. Father, we come before you today. Lord, deal with us. Deal with us because you love us. And show us how to walk in the truth that you have. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the helper and that you help us. You cause us to succeed. Thank you, Jesus. You said you give us joy and it's full. That means to the brim. That means to the tip top. So we thank you for joy. We thank you that we have fellowship, Father, with you and Jesus, and that you make your home in us, and that you're manifesting and showing yourself big inside of us. We thank you for those blessings. Oh God, I pray that you, Lord, would direct our steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over us. that you'd set a guard over our mouth and watch over the doors of our lips, that we not speak anything evil, and that we flee from immorality and the workers of iniquity we run from, and stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.